Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malaw here on the NOVAM Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in on Halloween. Wait, this is not Halloween. It's State of the Union night. Halloween. It's kind of trick-or-treat. I don't know. We want to welcome a new affiliate, KMDY, 1360 AM in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to all the Truth Seekers there. You came in at just the right night, the State of the Union night. This would be our last lie to lie coverage of Chuckle Nuts, the State of the Union. We have it on in the background here. I'm watching on MSNBC, which is the same thing as watching it on CNN, which is the same thing as watching on NBC, which is the same thing as. And what I'm curious about, what the hell are the people on the Democratic side of the aisle? The senators and members of the House. What are they leaning over asking this freak for his autograph for? What's up with that? What's this kissy face? What's going on? This is a guy who has presided over almost the destruction of the U.S. Constitution, the destruction of the middle class in this country, the absolute destruction of the housing market, the destruction of our reputation overseas, the taking us all the way to the brink of World War III, and there are Democrats reaching out to touch this crazy bastard? What is with these Democrats? Oh, that's right. It's our glorious Democratic Party. I saw one freak lean over and ask him to give me your autograph, Mr. President. Can I have your autograph? Oh, here, let me kiss you on the neck. Oh, my God. Medium income, household income in the United States in 2000, where this criminal enterprise took over, was $49,158. Medium household income 6 years later, $48,201. That means it went down. The 8 years that led up to 2001, the increase in medium household income, $6,000. In the 6 years since this psycho bastard took over, the median household income has dropped $1,100. Where are you getting your numbers, Malloy? This is from the Census Bureau. Let's listen to a little bit of this crap. Pelosi entered the most cowardly... Oh, here we go. Listen.
I have the high privilege...
Privilege?
...and distinct honor...
Honor?
...of presenting to you... the President of the United States.
Mr. Chuckle Nuts, let's hear it. Yay, let's hear it for this psycho bastard. Go ahead, yeah. Oh, my God, she's shaking his hand. And there's Cyborg Man.
Thank you all.
Clear. Oh, clear. I can't handle this, but I'm going to try. If the program goes dead tonight, it's because I've keeled over.
Vice President Cheney, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow citizens. 7 years have passed since I first stood before you at this rostrum.
And man, have I screwed things up.
In that time, our country has been tested in ways none of us could have imagined.
And I did everything I could on that.
We face hard decisions about peace and war.
Yeah.
Rising competition in the world economy.
I blew that, too.
And the health and welfare of our citizens.
Doesn't exist.
These issues call for vigorous debate.
And here I am.
And I think it's fair to say we've answered the call. Yet history will record that amid our differences, we acted with purpose.
What?
And together we showed the world the power and resilience of American self-government.
What?
All of us were sent to Washington to carry out the people's business.
No, corporations' business.
That is the purpose of this body.
No.
It is the meaning of our oath.
No.
It remains our charge to keep. The actions of the 110th Congress will affect the security and prosperity of our nation long after this session is ended.
In other words, we're screwed.
In this election year, Let us show our fellow Americans that we recognize our responsibilities and are determined to meet them. Let us show them that Republicans and Democrats can compete for votes and cooperate for results at the same time.
Yeah! Oh, hell yeah! Yeah, we can do that.
A charge to keep? Is that what he said?
From expanding opportunity to protecting our country, we've made good progress. Yet we have unfinished business before us.
Yeah, Iran.
And the American people expect us to get it done.
Got to drop an A-bomb.
In the work ahead, we must be guided by the philosophy...
Or two.
...that made our nation great.
Or three.
As Americans, we believe in the power of individuals to determine their destiny.
Like Barack Obama.
...to shape the course of history.
Like...
We believe that the most reliable guide for our country is the collective wisdom of ordinary citizens.
Collective!
And so in all we do... We must trust in the ability of free peoples to make wise decisions.
Out of the Bible.
And empower them to improve their lives for their futures.
That's why we need to get rid of you!
To build a prosperous future, we must trust people with their own money.
Like Karl Rove said.
And empower them to grow our economy. As we meet tonight, our economy is undergoing a period of uncertainty.
Yeah, that's the truth.
America's added jobs for a record 52 straight months. But jobs are now growing at a slower pace.
Jobs for 50.
Wages are up.
Jobs at McDonald's.
Lower prices for food and gas.
Yeah.
Exports are rising.
You done good.
But the housing market has declined.
You done good. Declined?
At kitchen tables across our country, there is a concern about our economic future. In the long run, Americans can be confident about our economic growth.
Yeah.
But in the short run.
Thanks to the Chinese.
We can all see that that growth is slowing.
Way down.
So last week. My administration reached agreement with Speaker Pelosi, Republican Leader Boehner, on a robust growth package.
Mass suicide.
That includes tax relief for individuals and families.
Yeah.
And incentives for business investment.
Yeah.
The temptation will be to load up the bill.
Load up?
That would delay it or derail it, and neither option is acceptable.
Load it up?
Yay! Clap, 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 clap. Clap, 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 clap. Clap, 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 clap.
This is a good agreement that will keep our economy growing and our people working, and this Congress must pass it as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah. Checks in the mail. Here it comes. Here it comes.
We have other work to do on taxes.
Yeah, what?
Unless Congress acts, most of the tax relief we have delivered over the past 7 years will be taken away.
No kidding.
Some in Washington argue that letting tax relief expire is not a tax increase. Try explaining that to 116 million American taxpayers who see their taxes rise by an average of $1,800.
What?
Others have said they would personally be happy to pay higher taxes.
Raised it. Reagan raised taxes.
I welcome their enthusiasm.
So did your pappy.
Pleased to report that the IRS accepts both checks and money orders.
God damn, he is funny man. God damn. Oh, that's a knee slapper. Oh, Christ.
Most Americans think their taxes are high enough.
I'm going to miss him.
With all the other pressures on their finances, American families should not have to worry about the federal government taking a bigger bite out of their paychecks.
A bite?
There's only one way to eliminate this uncertainty.
Revolution!
Make the tax relief permanent.
Yeah, for all those rich people. Oh, my God. Yeah, make it. Yeah, look at all the Republicans stand up. You filthy scum. Look at him. Look at him stand up. Oh, you vermin. Oh, you floaters. Bah. 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 Wee-hee.
Members of Congress should know, if any bill raises taxes, reaches my desk...
I'll kill it.
I will veto it.
You're damn right! I'll kill it. I'll shoot it.
Stand up, Republicans. Stand up. Stand. That's good. Stand up, you scum. Stand up. There you go. Come on, get up. Get off your asses. Stand up.
Come on, get up there.
Just as we trust Americans with their own money, we need to earn their trust by spending their tax dollars wisely.
Like Iraq.
Next week, I'll send you a budget that terminates or substantially reduces 151 wasteful or bloated programs.
Like Iraq.
Totaling more than $18 billion.
Like Iraq.
The budget that I will submit will keep America on track for a surplus in 2012.
$2 billion
American
a week.
Families have to balance their budgets.
In Iraq.
So should their government.
Yeah, like you've done, you lying son of a bitch. Oh, I got to get out of here for a break. We got to take a break. I have to go take a shower. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Yeah! $2 billion a week in Iraq. Yeah! We got to cut back on that wasteful spending like children's health insurance. You son of a... Past the hour. Let's play a little drinking game here. One shot of whatever your favorite libation is every time this freak says success, and two, every time he says hard work. And by the way, as we rejoin this comedy of errors, have you noticed Dick Cheney's pink color? They must have found a couple of homeless children for him and open a vein right before he came out so he could drink their blood.
Opportunity scholarships you approved.
Oh, yeah.
More than 2,600 of the poorest children in our nation's capital have found new hope at a faith-based or other non-public school. Sadly, these schools are disappearing at an alarming rate in many of America's inner cities. So I will convene a White House summit aimed at strengthening these lifelines of learning.
Oh, good, a summit!
And to open the doors of these schools to more children. I ask you to support a new $300 million program called Pell Grants for Kids. We have seen how Pell Grants help low-income college students realize their full potential.
Healthcare first.
Together, we've expanded the size and reach of these grants.
A sick kid is an alert
kid. Now let us apply the same spirit to help liberate poor children trapped in failing public schools.
Where are you going to get the $300 million, chuckle nuts? Going to liberate those little ghetto children like we liberated the Iraqis, right?
We must trust American workers to compete with anyone in the world and empower them by opening up new markets overseas.
Except the Chinese.
Today, our economic growth increasingly depends on our ability to sell American goods and crops and services all over the world. So we're working to break down barriers to trade and investment wherever we can. We're working for a successful Doha round of trade talks.
A what?
And we must complete a good agreement this year.
Doha?
At the same time, we're pursuing opportunities to open up new markets by passing free trade agreements.
Where?
I thank the Congress for approving a good agreement with Peru.
Peru.
And now I ask you to approve agreements with Colombia and Panama.
And the moon.
And South Korea.
And Mars.
Are we still going to Mars, George?
Many products from these nations now enter America duty-free. Yet many of our products face steep tariffs in their markets.
Where?
These agreements will level the playing field.
Oh, yeah.
They will give us better access to nearly 100 million customers.
All Chinese.
They will support good jobs for the finest workers in the world.
The Chinese.
Those whose products say, made in the USA.
But are really made in China. It's just that they flip that label over and put made in USA. Yeah. We've seen that one before, George.
These agreements also promote America's strategic interests.
Now, that would be...
The first agreement that will come before you is with Colombia.
And bomb Iran.
A friend of America that is confronting violence and terror and fighting drug traffickers.
They commit violence and terror.
If we fail to pass this agreement, we will embolden the purveyors of false populism in our hemisphere.
False populism?
So we must come together. Pass this agreement
and
show our neighbors in the region that democracy leads to a better life.
Afghanistan! They got drugs, too. Hello? Oh, my God, there's John Kerry. Is he still alive? Stand up, you filthy Republicans. Stand up. Shake your booties. Get your suit pants out of your crack. There
Trade
you go.
Trade brings better jobs and better choices and better prices.
And, yeah.
Yeah, for some Americans, trade can mean losing a job.
Really?
And the federal government has a responsibility to help.
Oh, yeah, doing what? Doing what?
Cutting children's health insurance.
To reauthorize and reform trade adjustment assistance.
That's a good
one.
So we
can help these displaced workers learn new skills and find new jobs.
Like they have been, right? Let's send them all to trade schools so they can learn bricklaying. Of course, there's no housing industry anymore.
To build a future of energy security. We must trust in the creative genius of American researchers and entrepreneurs.
Corn.
And empower them to pioneer a new generation of clean energy technology.
Switchgrass. Hello. Clap, clap, clap. No more oil. Oh, well, that'll never happen.
Our security, our prosperity, and our environment all require reducing our dependence on oil.
Corn.
Last year, I asked you to pass legislation to reduce oil consumption over the next decade.
Corn.
And you responded.
Corn.
Together, we should take the next steps.
Corn.
Let us fund new technologies that can generate coal power while capturing carbon emissions.
Corn.
Let us increase the use of renewable power and emissions-free nuclear power.
Nuclear. Sticks. Rocks. Mud. Carrots, anything.
Let us continue investing in advanced battery technology and renewable fuels to power the cars and trucks of the future.
Yeah, batteries, corn. I am coming to you.
Let's create a new international clean technology fund.
Water.
Which will help developing nations like India and China make a greater use of clean energy sources.
Water driplets.
And let us complete an international agreement that has the potential to stop, and eventually reverse the growth of greenhouse gases.
Oh, why? There's nothing happening. Haven't you heard Rush? Stand up, you filthy Republican. Stand up. Shake your booty. Shake your booty. Shake it out. Shake it out. Huh. Huh. Shake it out. Get that booty moving. And, you know, he's not just opining on all that energy stuff. He's an environmentalist. Not like that phony Al Gore. Corn! Corn!
I enforce justice for the law.
Before the hour. Are you still here? Oh, good. In case you missed it, Chucklenuts just said he wanted Congress to pass a law to ban the selling of human life. Mm-hmm. Thank God nobody can buy a human anymore. There goes Cheney's health plan. No more spare body parts. And that will ruin Limbaugh's next trip to the Dominican Republic, right? And what is this? As Malachi emails in, put an extra $300 million into public schools is bad. But $300 million into private for-profit schools is good. Okay. Oh, and he also wanted to reform Social Security. We all know what that means. Let's go back to this nonsense. Well, we'll try to go back to the nonsense. Where are we here? There we are, somewhere. All right, let's wait. We'll go back to it in a second. Again, some more statistics here for people who are keeping track, one of the things that really gets me about the United States is we're supposed to be a country of, if nothing else, economic opportunity, right? Get this. The salary of a full-time minimum wage employee with no vacation works out to be $12,168. The average salary of a CEO of one of America's top 500 companies, $15.2 million. Son of a bitch. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, wow. Anyway, back to some more stats here. The number of Americans living in poverty when Bush took over, 31 million. The number of Americans living in poverty as of August 2007, 36.5 million. Oops. What else we got here? Total consumer credit debt in 2001, when Chucklenuts took over, $7.65 trillion. Total consumer debt now, $12.8 trillion. Oy, let's go back to the President of the United States.
On a clear September day, we saw thousands of our fellow citizens taken from us in an instant. These horrific images serve as a grim reminder. The advance of liberty is opposed by terrorists and extremists, evil men who despise freedom, despise America, and aim to subject millions to their violent rule. Since 9/11, we have taken the fight to these terrorists and extremists. We will stay on the offense. We will keep up the pressure.
Bomb Iran!
We will deliver justice to our enemies.
Nukes! Deliver justice! Fry their children! Boil their women alive! Blow the sons of bitches up! They got our oil!
We are engaged in the defining ideological struggle of the 21st century. The terrorists oppose every principle of humanity and decency that we hold dear.
There's one sitting right behind you.
Yet in this war on terror, there is one thing we and our enemies agree on.
Bombs!
In the long run, men and women who are free to determine their own destinies will reject terror and refuse to live in tyranny.
Like us, maybe,
and
someday,
that is why,
right?
The terrorists are fighting to deny this choice to the people in Lebanon.
Lebanon?
Iraq. Afghanistan.
Iraq?
Pakistan. And the Palestinian territories. And that is why, for the security of America and the peace of the world, we are spreading the hope of freedom. In Afghanistan, America, our 25 NATO allies, and 15 partner nations are helping the Afghan people defend their freedom and rebuild their country.
What?
Thanks to the courage of these military and civilian personnel, a nation that was once a safe haven for Al-Qaeda is now a young democracy where boys and girls are going to school.
Oh, my God.
New roads and hospitals are being built.
Oh, my God.
And people are looking to the future with new hope.
And the Taliban is taking over.
These successes must continue. So we're adding 3,200 Marines to our forces in Afghanistan, where they will fight the terrorists and train the Afghan army and police.
And keep the kiddies in school.
Defeating the Taliban and Al-Qaeda is critical to our security, and I thank the Congress for supporting America's vital mission in Afghanistan.
Yeah, where the poppies are being cultivated in record numbers. Heroin trade is up. Women for beaten for sending their kids to school or wearing the wrong kind of shoes. Oh, no, that's right. It's for showing their shoes. God, I love freedom. Don't you all love freedom, huh? You dumbass members of Congress. Applaud me.
The terrorists and extremists are fighting to deny proud people their liberty.
The ones we haven't killed.
Safe havens for attacks across the world. 1 year ago, our enemies were succeeding in their efforts to plunge Iraq into chaos. So we reviewed our strategy.
And we've plunged them into chaos.
Course.
Yeah.
We lost a surge of American forces into Iraq.
Take a drink. He said succeeding.
We gave our troops a new mission.
Yeah.
Work with the Iraqi
Stay alive.
To protect the Iraqi people.
Oh,
pursue the enemy in his strongholds. And deny the terrorist sanctuary anywhere in the country. The Iraki people quickly realized
Mosul?
That something dramatic had happened.
Yeah, they've been lied to.
That America was preparing to abandon them. Instead saw tens of thousands of American forces flowing into their country.
Oh, they loved that, didn't they?
They saw our forces moving into neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Clearing out the terrorists.
Opening banana stands.
Staying behind to ensure the enemy did not return.
Throwing water at children.
And they saw our troops, along with provincial reconstruction teams that include foreign service officers.
Reconstruction
teams? And
other
skilled public servants.
What?
Coming in to ensure that improved security was followed by improvements in daily life.
What is he talking about?
Our military and civilians in Iraq are performing with courage and distinction, and they have the gratitude of our whole nation.
No, they don't. No, they don't, you lying bastard. Everybody here wants them to come home. How many dead Americans today? You liar? Five? We support the troops, chuckle nuts. We want them home, safe, out of your filthy command. God, I hate this guy. Liar. Show some shame, Bush. Shame on you. Shame on you.
The Iraqis launched a surge of their own. In the fall of 2006, Sunni tribal leaders grew tired of al-Qaeda's brutality.
What?
Started a popular uprising called the Anbar Awakening. Over the past year, similar movements...
Sounds like something a preacher would do.
And today, the grassroots surge includes more than 80,000 Iraqi citizens.
Ooh.
Who are fighting the terrorists.
They are?
The government in Baghdad has stepped forward as well, adding more than 100,000 new Iraqi soldiers and police during the past year.
Oh, that'll work, yeah.
While the enemy is still dangerous, and more work remains, the American and Iraqi surges have achieved results few of us could have imagined just 1 year ago.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! We're going to kill those MFers. We're going to get them. We're succeeding. We are. By God, we are. Yay!
Did he say succeeding or did I? Oh, hell with it. Take a drink.
Oh, when we
Christ.
Met last year,
yeah.
Many said that containing the violence was impossible.
And they were right.
A year later, high-profile terrorist attacks are down. Civilian deaths are down. Sectarian killings are down.
Oh, good. That's wonderful.
When we met last year, militia extremists, some armed and trained by Iran, were wreaking havoc in large areas of Iraq. A year later, coalition and Iraqi forces have killed or captured hundreds of militia fighters.
Hundreds.
And Iraqis of all backgrounds increasingly realize that defeating these militia fighters is critical to the future of their country.
Anybody want to go get a sandwich?
When we met last year, al-Qaeda had sanctuaries.
Hey, pick me up a meatball with red sauce,
and
all right?
Just offered American forces safe passage out of the country.
And a Coke.
Today, it is al-Qaeda that is searching for safe passage.
Who?
They have been driven from many of the strongholds they once held.
Like Chicago.
And over the past year,
Detroit.
We've captured or killed thousands of extremists in Iraq.
Dallas.
Including hundreds of key al-Qaeda leaders and operatives.
Yeah! We keep getting that number two man over and over again.
In which he railed against Iraqi tribal leaders who have turned on al-Qaeda.
Hey, pot him down just a minute there. Hey, chuckle nuts, just a little FYI. There was no al-Qaeda in Iraq until your invade. Oh, never mind.
But among the terrorists, there is no doubt. Al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq, and this enemy will be defeated.
We're on the run. Oh, have you noticed? We're on the run. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know we were on the run. Yes, we are on the run. Mr. Bush, just say that. We're on the run. We're running? This is running? I don't know. What does it feel like to you? Feels like putting out IEDs to me. What, we're not running? I don't know. Are we running? He says we're running. Well, maybe we're running. I don't know. My feet not moving. I don't know. Maybe. Is this running? Okay. No running. I'm running. You're running.
When we met last year, our troop levels in Iraq were on the rise.
Mass destruction.
Today, because of the
mass
destruction.
Well, what? What's that? Oh my God, his earpiece is screwing up.
Destruction.
Don't say that, George.
Mass
George, never mind.
Mass destruction. Mass destruction. Mass destruction.
We will be right back with more of this nonsense.
Texas. I come from Texas.
The new Prime Minister of India is, no.
10 before the hour, email from Todd in Illinois. Says, Mike, Dim Sun is 20 minutes into his speech, and I've already lost track of how many people have fallen asleep. And what the hell is with his use of the word trust? We must trust this. We have to trust that. This guy's making me want to open a vein in my neck. Any chance of my borrowing your ice pick tonight? You have to get your own. What, is he still talking? Okay, let's do a little bit more. What the hell? Let's do a little bit more. Don't leave me. Don't any of you people listening leave me with this all by myself.
We will not rest either. We will not rest until this enemy has been defeated.
Dick Cheney? Oh, he finally got around to the Dick Cheney part. All right, I'll applaud that. Yeah, get rid of that son of a bitch. Pelosi's up there reading the current issue of Martha. Wow.
We must do the difficult work today so that years from now, people will look back and say that
Pelosi's reading a book.
Prevailed in a tough fight.
Now she's looking at a fly on Bush's shoulder.
And a safer America.
Oh, no. There's Condoleezza Wheat. Rice.
We're also standing against the forces of extremism in the Holy Land.
The Holy Land?
Where we have new cause for hope. Palestinians have elected.
There's the devil.
Recognizes that confronting.
Look up there. Look at your TV. There he is.
Achieving a state where his people can live in dignity and at peace with Israel.
Peace with Israel.
Israelis have leaders who recognize that a peaceful, democratic Palestinian state will be a source of lasting security.
A source of lasting trouble.
This month in Ramallah and Jerusalem.
Ramallah.
I assured leaders from both sides that America will do and I will do.
Yeah. Anything it takes to help them.
Achieve a peace agreement
achieve
that defines a
peace
Palestinian state
Palestinian
by the end of this year.
Side by side with
the time has
Mars.
Come
yeah.
For a holy land where a democratic Israel
yeah.
and a democratic Palestine
are side by side,
side by side
in peace. Yeah. Hey, how's that wall coming over there? No, not the one in Gaza. The one that goes right through the occupied territories. Huh? Yeah, peace in our time, for sure. All right.
We're also standing against the forces of extremism embodied by the regime in Tehran.
Oh, let's get them.
Iran's rulers oppress a good and talented people.
What?
And wherever freedom advances in the Middle East, it seems the Iranian regime is there to oppose it.
Let's nuke them.
Iran is funding and training militia groups in Iraq.
Corn!
Supporting Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon.
I'm coming to you.
Backing Hamas's efforts to undermine peace.
I'm coming to you, too!
Tehran is also developing ballistic missiles of increasing range. And continues to develop its capability to enrich uranium.
Oh, no!
Which could be used to create a nuclear weapon.
Oh, no!
Our message to the people of Iran is clear. We have no quarrel with you. We respect your traditions and your history.
We want your oil.
We look forward to the day when you have your freedom.
We want your oil.
Our message to the leaders of Iran is also clear.
We want your oil.
Verifiably suspend your nuclear enrichment so negotiations can begin.
We already have.
And to rejoin the community of nations, come clean about your nuclear intentions and past actions.
Corn.
Stop your oppression at home.
Or.
Cease your support for terror abroad.
We are coming to you.
But above all, know this. America will confront those who threaten our troops.
Yeah.
We will stand by our allies.
We'll nuke you.
We will defend our vital interests in the Persian Gulf.
You're damn right. You got your little cheap-ass nation on top of our oil. You will explode in a couple of minutes. Get off our oil, you
On the home front, we will continue to take every lawful and effective measure to protect our country.
lawful?
Solemn duty. We are grateful that there has not been another attack on our soil since 9/11.
Yeah, you soiled.
This is not for the lack of desire or effort on the part of the enemy.
No.
The past 6 years, we've stopped numerous attacks.
We have.
Including a plot to fly a plane into the tallest building in Los Angeles. And another to blow up passenger jets bound for America over the Atlantic.
Oh, that was the shoe guy.
Dedicated men and women in our government toil day and night to stop the terrorists from carrying out their plans.
And we got to protect America from all those college students using the Internet, too. FISA will take care of those little bastards. They're all Democrats anyway, liberals. Nuke Iran! Corn! You got to kill Putin, though, because he keeps sending the Iranians uranium. Iranians uranium. I like that.
And we owe them something more.
Yeah?
We owe them the tools they need to keep our people safe.
Nuke them.
And one of the most important tools we can give them is the ability to monitor terrorist communications.
And bombs.
To protect America, we need to know who the terrorists are talking to.
And bombs.
What they are saying.
So screw the Constitution!
Last year, Congress passed legislation to help us do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Congress set the legislation to expire on February the 1st.
Sneaky bastards.
That means if you don't act by Friday,
We're out of luck.
Our ability to track terrorist threats would be weakened, and our citizens will be in greater danger.
Bombs.
Congress must ensure the flow of vital intelligence is not disrupted.
Bombs.
Congress must pass liability protection for companies believed to have assisted in the efforts to defend America.
What? Wait.
Ample time for debate.
What?
The time to act is now.
God bless Halliburton. No lawsuits against KBR. And the telecom companies are home free. And all my friends at Clear Channel, they're home free too. Oh, and NBC. And the Texas Rangers. Corn!
Protecting our nations from the dangers of a new century requires more than good intelligence and a strong military.
Dangers from a new century?
It also requires changing the conditions that breed resentment and allow extremists to prey on despair. So America is using its influence to build a freer, more hopeful, and more compassionate world.
Afghanistan, yeah.
This is a reflection of our national interests. It is the calling of our conscience.
What is this guy? Seriously, we got a break here. Go ahead, pot him down for a second. Kathy, what the hell is this guy? What universe is this freak living in? Now, I realize the State of the Union addresses are 99% hog snot, but this is just unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Stick around. Maybe this slop will end during our top of the hour break. And when we come back, if it has ended, maybe we can take some phone calls. So if you need to go to the bathroom or something, go ahead. We'll see you right after. Oh, God. The top of the hour. I better go. Is it over? Well, that's appropriate. I run to the John, and when I come back, Bush is being flushed. All right, I'll do that. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. State of the Union, January, what is today, Kathy, 28th? January 28th, 2008. The State of the Union, the decrease in median income in this country from the year 2000 to the year 2006 in white American households, about 1,000. The decrease in African American households, about 3,000. The decrease in Hispanic households, about 1,000. The decrease in Asian American households, about 1,300. My goodness, all four racial groups had a decrease in median income from 2000 to 2006. Oh, well, probably doesn't mean too much. In 2006, African Americans living in poverty in the United States, 24%. Hispanic Americans living in poverty, 20%. Asian Americans, 10%. White Americans, 8%. Ooh, well, you know, a hungry voter is an alert voter, right? Number of American manufacturing jobs lost between 2000 and 2006. 3,066,000. The U.S. Department of Labor employment situation summary as of the 4th of this month, this year. Jobless African American workers, 9%. Jobless Hispanic American workers, 6.3. Jobless white Americans, 4.4. Jobless Asian Americans, 3.7. Average price of a gallon of home heating oil in January 2000, $1.40. Average price of a gallon of home heating oil in January 2008, $3.39. Gasoline in 2000, $1.59. Gasoline now, $3.14. Average. Unbelievable stuff. ExxonMobil profits in the year 2000, $7.9 billion. ExxonMobil profits in 2006, $36 billion. Yes, that's a pretty good run, huh? ExxonMobil, you goddamn right it's a good run. That's what it's about. This is what this is all about. This is what corporatism is. This is why you and I will never, ever know what happened at that energy conference in Cheney's office way back in what, 2002? 2001? It's none of our business. It's only the business of ExxonMobil and Texaco and the rest of these gouging bastards. Americans without health insurance in 2000, 38 million. Americans without health insurance in 2006, 47 million. Number of children without health insurance, 9 million. Number of times Bush vetoed additional health insurance for children, twice. It just goes on and on. I mean, there is not one single statistic. No matter how you parse the economic condition of Americans that has improved since this rat bastard and his cronies on the Supreme Court gave him the presidency. Not one. And don't even get me started on Iraq or the military budget or debts and deficits. It's just... In 2001, number of people abroad who viewed America favorably, 59%. In 2007, 39%. In Great Britain, America favorably in 2001, 83%. In 2007, 56%. Oh, there's no point going on with this. There really isn't. You're here, just like I am. You know what's going on. I'm curious as to how Republicans listening to this liar, this moron, middle class, working class Republicans, sitting in front of their television sets tonight, listening to and watching this garbage, knowing that the equity in their house is disappearing, if they had any to begin with. The war goes on two fronts and possibly a third one. The economic situation in this country is going right down the commode. They know this, our Republican couple, because their grown son is unemployed. Their grown daughter-in-law is supporting the family right now on telemarketing money, and the son is getting unemployment. Their grown daughter, who was in nursing school, is now out because she couldn't afford, nor could the parents, to continue the tuition. And yet... These dumb bastards will sit there, and they are dumb bastards. They will sit there, and they will wait until Election Day 2008, and they will vote Republican again. You know why? Because that'll guarantee that the queers can't get married. And that's all that matters. Gotta not let the queers get married. If the queers get married, then the institution of marriage dissolves. And the Pope turns into a flaming faggot, and we all go, oops, what's going on? So Bush stands there. And the Republicans applaud him. I think I even saw Nancy Pelosi applauding him. She looked up from her book. I wonder what the hell she was reading. Was that a book or was that current issue of O magazine or Martha or whatever? What's Martha Stewart's magazine? O is Oprah's magazine.
Oh, that's right. I've never read Oprah. Living.
Living?
Living. Martha Stewart.
It's not Martha?
No, as some people say, is Martha Stewart living? I love Martha Stewart. Don't get me wrong.
That's a joke, right?
She's a heroine of mine.
Heroine?
Did I say heroine?
Well, anyway, let's do some phone calls because I'm just maxed out on this. I just feel like my entire studio here is about 4 inches deep in bull droppings, and it's just difficult to walk. So let me sit down. Okay. Let's go to Len, who is calling from New York, listening on the Internet. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Len.
I was watching with closed caption and having my shots. I just wanted to bring an update. I was in Florida on vacation.
Yeah.
And the driver who took us from the airport had to hold down two jobs to make ends meet. And those kitchen table issues, the table's on the sidewalk now because he's dispossessed.
Oh, my God.
But I think it's important that I communicate, and I guess maybe I'm talking slower after a couple shots.
you're doing all right, Len. Everything's cool. You're doing good. You're doing good. Go ahead, Len.
The one thing I got, I was wearing my Obama hat, and the one thing I got from the time I checked in, people sort of, I would always ask people, who they like for president.
Yeah.
I got so many anybody but Hillary's that it really creeped me out, the thought that the Democrats might put her in to run against John McCain. And, I was making notes, to talk to you. But to me, it boiled down to right now, the guy who's got the most influence on our 2008 election is Muqtada al-Sadr. And I was telling this to people for the last
You really
week
think
or
it's
two.
Him? You think it's him? The Fallujah guy? No, not Fallujah.
The Shiite guy who's actually...
The militia guy,
He's studying to be an Ayatollah, by the way, I heard.
Really? But, studying to be? Is that how you do it? You study?
Well, that's what supposedly they have to do. It's not like you can't just be an Ayatollah. It's like being a rabbi, You can't just be a rabbi because...
You go to school to be an Ayatollah. All right. I didn't know that. I thought maybe... I don't know what I thought. I just thought that, if your tribe said you're an Ayatollah, you're an Ayatollah. I don't know.
No, you've got to be learned.
No disrespect shown to anybody here, but I didn't know. Ayatollah, Uatollah, I had no idea. Hold on a second, Len. Let me do a break, and we'll come back. And if you're on hold, stick around. I want to hear what you got to say. The number here is 800-989-1480. If you feel like you just got hosed by this guy... George Bush, you did. So stick around. We'll talk about it. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
He'll have them all down to stay in Crawford. Tell them your dreams. Sit down, shut up, and take it. Or get out the vote, and your fight deepens. You might have a chance to make it if W goes home. When W goes home, so glad. The worst friend.
Americans to give 4,000 years, 4,000 hours over the next, or the rest of your life. That's what I asked. I said 4,000 hours.
That's longer than that's about a week.
Steve writes in regarding Nancy Pelosi. What was she reading? She was sitting there reading Atlas Shrugged. If you want to, you can be excused and listen to Governor Kathleen Sebelius of Kansas, Democrat of Kansas, give the Democrat response, rejoinder, rebuttal, whatever. No offense to Governor Kathleen Sebelius. I have to display my ignorance by telling you it's the first time I've ever even heard her name. I didn't realize Kansas had a Democratic governor. How did that happen? And it's a woman. I mean, this is a state that says no, creationism is the way to go, talking snakes and stuff. But why not, now that Dennis Kucinich is out of the running, why not have him give the response? No, I know. Have Representative Wexler of Florida give the response. Have old Robert come on there. Robert Wexler. Oh, wait a minute. Both those guys are trying to impeach the man. Democrats would never put them up. No, I know. How about a governor that no one has ever heard of and put her out there to talk about a more effective war on terror? The hell does that mean? We were talking with Len. Let's go back to Len in New York City. But if anybody wants to bail out of the program and go listen to Governor Sebelius, go ahead. All right, Len, where were we?
Oh, she's a good choice. See, now you know this Democratic governor. I was talking about Muqtada al-Sadr.
Oh, yeah, the one who's going to determine our next president.
Yeah, well, he's got as good a chance as anybody, basically, because McCain really looks like he's going to end up getting it out of default on the Republican side. Mm-hmm. And Muqtada al-Sadr, since August, was on a six-month peace, self-imposed truce to not shoot at Americans.
Right.
And I was reminding people just about starting 10, 12 days ago that, this guy, that the main reason that the violence in Iraq is down is because of him. He's controlling a huge army.
So if he, pots it up a bit.
Just in the last day, I started seeing that people high up in his organization have urged him to, end the truce at the end of the 6 months. Uh-huh. And if McCain, looks like he's getting the nomination, by the way, when he smiles, McCain, at the end of a sentence, it's very much like Kramer. He's not quite sure what he said, but, it gives you that smile.
I know it is. It's a lot like Kramer.
But if they start shooting right after he gets, he gets the nomination, they start shooting and killing, Americans, left and right because, we think that we're going to stay there forever and capture their oil, then, that's pretty much going to seal it for a Democrat. Unless it's Hillary. I'll tell you, people just don't like Hillary.
Well, I just wish Muqtada al-Sadr and the rest of these people would understand that they're dealing with a predatory animal when they deal with the United States. So the best way to deal, toss it a chunk of meat, which they've done, and everybody just sit back. Let Barack be president. Barack will go over and talk with Muqtada al-Sadr, whatever the hell his name is. Barack will go talk with Ahmadinejad, and Barack will go talk with Omar and with the Hamas people, and everybody will sit down and make nice, and everybody will be cool. And I'll tell you why. They'll freak out when they see a man coming, when all these foreigners see a man coming who is not white, and he comes as president of the United States. They'll be so nonplussed, they'll be so shocked. They'll say, wait a minute, you're from America? That cesspool of racism and sexism and bigotry, you're from America? Oh, wow, well, let's sit down and talk. So I don't know. That's just my fantasy.
Well, I hear you. And that's why I think Kennedy, came aboard today, and I would really call on Edwards to he was basically going about bashing Clinton. And we would want to see unity sooner rather than wait till a convention so we can act and speak with unity as opposed to, and that everybody was saying, well, Obama didn't get many of the white votes, but I don't, in South Carolina, I don't think many of those Edwards voters would have voted for Clinton if they didn't have Edwards to vote for. I think there would have been just a lot more white votes, and not too many votes more for Clinton.
It's a shame. Len, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. It's a shame we have to. Whoops. Sorry, Len. We didn't mean to drop you so quick. It's a shame to have to talk about white votes and black votes. Votes are votes, but that's still where we are. Maybe, I don't know anymore. Don't send me any emails, anybody. Please don't tell me that Barack is really a tool of the corporate, I can't take it anymore. I really can't. I don't know. Is there a communist running? I don't know who to vote for anymore. But I just have a gut feeling every time I see Barack Obama that were he president of the United States, because this is such a racial cesspool over here, always has been. Can you imagine if you were a black soldier in World War II and came back to this country in 1946 like Hosea Williams did here in Atlanta. You know, he was fought for America's freedoms, and he came back, and they told him to get his ass in the back of the bus. Can you? Maybe if Barack is elected president, something will happen, something good. You know, I don't know anymore. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I'm really into marriage, but just for guys and gals.
He cuts down trees and taxes too, especially for his pals. He's really into marriage, but just for guys and gals.
Oh, I'm the president and I'm okay if I'm all night and...
Whatever we want to call it. I'm coming to you. A couple of emails here. Some of you people are merciless. This from Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, we need to remember that in his subject line is McCain and the neocons. Mike, we need to remember that in 2000, McCain was the neocon choice for president. They only accepted Bush after Rove was able to knock McCain out in South Carolina. As a compromise, they dropped McCain. Chucklenuts got to play in the White House, and the neocons got control of the Pentagon. And more from Dr. Sachs regarding Governor Sebelius. Dr. Sachs writes, Jesus, like Martha Stewart on Valium. God, she's so blah, so boring, so non-aggressive. Can we get the whole Democratic Party some Viagra? For what? From Turkmen. Mike, I was hoping the Filipino monkey would break in over the airwaves. I am lying to you! Over and over. We have heard this flying monkey lie for years, and still they clap and cheer him. The Democrats in the room should be totally ashamed of themselves. 8 years of nothing but lies out of his mouth with no accountability, and still they cheer this clown. That's from Don in Baltimore. And R.S. writes, regarding what Pelosi's reading, I think she's reading It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. Yeah, what was Pelosi reading? Anybody got any ideas? We got It Can't Happen Here, Atlas Shrugged. Anybody got any suggestions? Wexler, Robert Wexler, the congressman from Florida, with whom I've had a couple of disagreements. Not that he knows about it. I mean, he doesn't know me from Adam's house cat. But regarding, I think Wexler and I really had a falling out when the Israel-Lebanon war was going on a year or so ago. I don't remember. It doesn't matter anyway. I'm going to declare a moratorium on that whole region on this program. Yeah, I always say that. Anyway, Wexler wrote at afterdowningstreet.org about Bush's speech tonight. He said, for the past 7 years, we've watched as America's moved steadily backwards. We've become less free and less fair. For example, we're a nation that no longer values the right to privacy. Wexler goes on to say, nothing Bush says tonight will change the sad reality of the America he has given us. Our economy teeters on the edge of recession, while property taxes spike and homeowners are losing their homes at record levels. Our educational system is broken. Our teachers are abandoned. Our roads and bridges languish in despair, while our borders and ports remain underinspected and insecure. Our most basic ideals about law and justice have been tossed out, as this president uses fear to pursue his reckless agenda, and we remain mired in Iraq, a war built on lies and manipulated intelligence. All of which is true. I mean, Wexler is speaking the truth. He says, nowhere in American history, not even Watergate, have we been confronted with an administration so ambivalent about the truth and established law. And he quotes that study that Bush lied over 900 times in the run-up to the Iraq War. Wexler says, Democrats in Congress must stand up and lead no matter the cost. Well, Robert, you're a Democrat. You know, why don't, well, you are leading, that's right. I thought you meant, like, run for president. Wexler has the that website, what's the name of it? Wexler's website, wexlerwantshearings.com. Remember that? He says, we need to finally act on the promises of the 2006 election and stop at nothing to bring our troops home. He says, if we do not act, Bush will install a permanent U.S. presence in Iraq, and John McCain's vision of a 100-year U.S. occupation will become reality. Wexler also says, it's time that we faced up to our global responsibilities and begin to prevent global warming. He goes on to say, we must aggressively pursue impeachment hearings for Dick Cheney due to serious allegations of abuse of power. 15 members of Congress, including 4 on the Judiciary Committee, have already joined Wexler's call to Chairman Conyers for impeachment hearings. Well, what has Conyers got, mud in his ears? What the hell is wrong with him? Wexler goes on to say, Bush administration's officials and cabinet members must answer questions on the record regarding illegal wiretapping, torture, deliberate knowing lies to the American people in an effort to bring us to war in Iraq. And he goes on and on and on. I hear you, Robert, but and my audience hears you, and a lot of people hear you, but nobody's going to do anything because I don't know why. I wish I knew why, but... We all know he's a Nazi bastard. We all know that corporatism is taking over the country. We know certainly that any Republican that replaces him is going to be worse. Do you understand that? Where it concerns civil liberties and war and economic chaos, no matter, you take a look at this Republican field, whoever replaces him is going to be worse overall. Oh, I know Ron Paul will bring the troops home. And end Social Security, and end Medicare, and end Medicaid, and end roads and bridges, and end... I don't even get me started. But no matter what Democrat... what Republican takes over from Bush is going to be worse than Bush. As far as the Democrats, maybe it's time to start voting our hearts instead of our heads. Maybe it's time we should... please don't send me any emails. Please don't. I'm begging you. I know they're all corporate whores. I understand. Please don't. But maybe it's time to vote for Obama simply because of the symbolism. Huh? The Democratic Republic that you and I grew up in is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Come on. It ended in the 80s. We've maintained an illusion that it's still there, but it's gone. I'm not saying we can't get it back if enough Americans are willing to resist, and you can define that resistance any way you want. But in the meantime, we are not a democratic republic anymore. We just simply are not. That's no earth-shaking announcement. I'm not coming here tonight to tell you that water is wet and the sun will rise tomorrow and that we're not a democratic republic anymore. You already know that. We have become a corporatist state, and we are moving closer and closer, a little bit slower than I thought, but we're moving closer to fascism. Now, you never know. You never know. There's still 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months left before the next phony election in this country. Anything could happen. Just like Len said, Muqtada al-Sadr could decide to start killing American soldiers again, in which case, a perfect time for the Bush crime families to stage another, quote, attack on the U.S., unquote, in order to usher in total martial law. You never know what's going to happen, right? Who would have thought that the sons of bitches would have allowed the September 11, 2001 attacks to occur after being warned over and over and over again that such a thing was going to happen? So, maybe it's time to start voting our hearts and not our heads. And... I listened to Kennedy's endorsement today of Barack Obama, and I have to say that one of the least inspiring Barack Obama speeches immediately followed that. But what are you going to do? You know, when you get some old fire horse, some old war horse like the Kennedy clan, who has been through everything from their old man supporting the Nazis and being a drug smuggler, the drug being alcohol, of course, and building his fortune that way, all the way to being Bobby Kennedy, being ordering the Justice Department to spy on Dr. King, All the way through the metamorphosis that and Bobby Kennedy did have his road to Damascus moment, I believe. We'll never really know because he was gunned down by the CIA or the same people that gunned down his brother when he was president. Oh, I know. Sirhan. Yeah. So the Kennedys who have been through, I mean, they are Shakespearean in the tragic comedy that they have visited upon the American political system. They really are. There's no other family like the Kennedys. And you see Ted Kennedy up there stepping back from the Clintons. And I think Kennedy was pretty sincere. I don't know. I don't think Kennedy gets a payoff. Jesus God, Kennedy is what, in his 70s? Brock is what, in his 40s? There's no payoff there for Kennedy. Nothing. Kennedy's been a senator for what, 30 years, 40 years, since Christ was a teenager? I have no idea. Kennedy has always been there.
Yeah, but what about Chappaquiddick, Mike?
Oh, bite me. So there's Kennedy and Caroline, who will always be a heartbreaker to me, because if I live to be a million, I'll remember that picture, that iconic photo of John and Caroline standing there with their mother in her widow's veil as their father's car drove by on November 25th, 24th, 25th, 26th, 1963. And she endorsed him. She endorsed him in the New York Times on Sunday. So maybe Barack Obama is, and please don't email me and tell me he's just another corporate whore. Please don't. Maybe Barack Obama's the man. Maybe Barack Obama's the man. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
They pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. See, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed her then and there. She took his ring. Took his babies. It took him minutes. Took her nowhere. Heaven knows she'd have taken in a finger.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
I want one. I want a compassionate American. Let me see. Which one do I want?
But then Bush tonight said we can't buy people anymore.
Well, yeah, that was tonight. All right, a couple of emails here. And then back to your phone calls. And by the way, when we come back after the break at the top of the hour, it's just going to be phone calls. I'm going to stay out of your way tonight and hear what you got to say about this ridiculous speech. Unless y'all get boring and you know, I get enough emails to say, oh, Jesus, stop taking phone calls, Malloy. All right. Rob writes in regarding our strategic interests when he was talking about Colombia and how we're going to, work with the Colombians. What a joke that is, right? That's like working with Marcos or working with in any repressive regime that we've worked with over the past 100 years. But Rob writes, yeah, he will use Colombia to invade Venezuela. Yeah. From Fifth Child, some books Nancy Pelosi might have been reading. My Pet Goat. Gone with the Windbag. She was following along with her Orwell to English dictionary. And Sun Tzu's lesser-known work, The Art of Capitulation. this is from Steve. She may have been reading Mein Kampf. Prairie 2 says she's reading A History of Canada to prepare for the citizenship test. Greg and Reno, Pelosi's reading My Pet Goat while Cheney tries to look at the pictures. And it wasn't Cheney. Cheney just, God, he scares me. Rebel Cat, I'm pretty sure she was reading My Pet Goat. She seemed to be holding it upside down, too. A lot of people are saying she was reading My Pet Goat. And Kathy writes, let's vote for Edwards because of the symbolism and at least pretend that we still care about the poor and the working class. Teddy and Caroline might think that Obama is the heir to JFK, but Edwards looks like the heir to RFK. Yeah, maybe so. Kennedy called Obama the new generation of leadership. Boy, he really ripped the Clintons' new body orifices, didn't he, today, huh? And I have to tell you, I'm sorry, I'm real ashamed to admit this, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. There was no questioning who he was, whose asses he was kicking, the Clintons. And I know. I mean, you can make a case. What the hell? They haven't done anything. yeah, well. But Kennedy really let it rip. He promised to campaign aggressively for Obama. We'll see. Kennedy said, "We too." I guess he's referring to what, the Democrats or to his own family? "We too want a president who appeals to the hopes of those who still believe in the American dream and those around the world who still believe in the American ideal and who can lift our spirits and make us believe again." I found that candidate, and I think you have too. Referring to Barack Obama. He did praise Hillary Clinton and John Edwards. He said, "They are my friends. They are my friends. They have been my colleagues in the Senate. But to hell with them." No, I just added that part. He said one candidate had risen above the rest. Quote, "He understands what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. called the fierce urgency of now." So, excuse me. I was impressed by the speech. I'm always impressed when Teddy Kennedy talks. Kathy and I have met him a couple of times in D.C. as a result of trips up there with radio or whatever, and he's quite the presence. I remember when we met him, was it two dogs or one dog? He carried the dog. He had the dogs with him. I remember right in the Senate office building. Remember that when Randy and I and Schultz and Progressive Radio. When was that? About 5 years ago. Hell, there were only about four of us there. But Kennedy was one of the senators that came in and talked to us as if there were 40 of us. But he had those two dogs with him. Remember those two big dogs? I'm impressed by Teddy Kennedy. I just have to tell you, I'm sorry. I just am. I don't agree with most of his stuff, but I'm impressed by him. I spoke at a union rally one time where Kennedy, remember that? Kennedy was the keynote speaker. Peter Werby and I were there. Where was that? Was that in Detroit? And he's just one of those people who has become iconic, whether he wanted to or not. I don't know what he's like in person. Maybe he's just, you know, some gassy old fart who burps after dinner. I have no idea. But the persona that I have chosen, I guess, is the one of Kennedy being an iconic American political figure. Don't send me emails on it, please. This has been a weird couple of weeks. I've gotten more emails saying, you know, taking certain things I've said and showing to me and showing me where I'm wrong. That's embarrassing. And a couple of people are challenging and questioning my sentiments where it concerns anybody in the Democratic Party who is running for the presidency. What? I sat here and used up another segment. I'll be damned. I'm sorry. All right. We have a break here. When we come back, Kelly in Texas and Kurt in San Diego and Wayne in Boston and Alvin in Montgomery and Crandall in Madison. We will take your calls immediately when we come back, right after the opening music, right after I come back and say it is 6:30 past the hour. The next thing will be, out of my mouth, your phone calls. And if you want to get online here, the number is 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. 7 past the hour. Welcome back, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Also, our new Texas affiliate we'd like to say hi to tonight, KMDY, 1360 AM. Thanks to the folks in Dallas who made this possible, and we are carried live on that station. So to the folks listening in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to this program tonight, first time, if you're a first-time listener, probably sitting there going, I'll tell you what, Maud, we better tighten up on that damn FCC just a little bit. You heard this, boy? Yeah, that's me. To your phone calls, as promised, who did I say? Kelly, who was calling from Wichita Falls, Texas. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to hear that there's an affiliate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's real nice. I'm glad to be back on in Dallas.
Yeah, after they had lost 1160 or 90, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Air America, folks. Yeah. Well, it's refreshing. I live about 140 miles away from over there in little old Wichita Falls, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was just calling. I feel like I need to take a shower. I just feel like I've just been sprayed down with liquid manure after listening to this criminal.
It's just so mind-boggling to think that Bush, does he believe the things he said? How can you believe that?
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's the result, the latent effects of all the coke he did back when he was, a young person of 40. Expressions of his youth, quote unquote. Yeah, right. But interesting. You know, talking about deals with Colombia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I mean, it's just unreal that, like you say, there's going to be these people that sit in their living rooms and listen to this nonsense, swallow it, and then go pull the button for the Republicans again, against their own economic best interest. It's just, I'm amongst, you know, maybe this is, to use maybe a little bit of a southern phrase, I'm amongst these people living in this little town of Wichita Falls. It's just unreal. A good friend of mine she works with folks that were advising her to watch President Bush's speech tonight because she made comments about what a loser she thinks he is and what a criminal he is.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks just all got their little red state blood up and just got all over her.
But you know, like I said right after the speech, how can Republicans listen to this and maintain on one side of their brain the reality of this country and our reputation,
mm-hmm.
and the nonsense that Bush was spouting? I don't understand how. I really don't understand how people can do that.
Oh, I know. And the nonsense about caring about the families of the military when he's peed all over them. The Walter Reed scandal happened on his watch with his Republican cronies and whatnot in charge. You know, the whole lies of the WMD to begin with that nobody ever holds them accountable for. The torture, the Abu Ghraib mess, you know, and still these pigs sit there and listen and see with their own eyes and still excuse it. You know, I told one of my friends one time, Bush could on camera, live on TV on the steps of the Capitol, kill a baby with a pitchfork, and there would still be a little small percentage of these idiots, these brain-dead morons that would excuse it and somehow justify it as maybe that baby asked for it or whatever, or maybe, you know.
It was obviously a terrorist baby. What are you doing? What are you doing in Wichita Falls since you don't like it? What are you doing in Wichita Falls?
It's not that I don't like it. It's just
isn't
that
it,
I don't like
it,
people.
Do you go to school there?
No, I'm way past school. That's how I did get here. I graduated from school and went to work for an aerospace company up in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Colorado native, but Colorado's a hell of a lot closer to Texas here where I live than it was from Indiana, but it's still far enough away so I have a little respite from the family drama that I have a lot of. But, it's not a bad little town, and you know, it's slowly changing. We do have one state representative, David Farabee, who is he gets elected even though he runs as a Democrat, not very many other folks run in this area and can win with a D behind the name. I'm about to try to for county commissioner, actually, in this town.
Really?
Which, and I'm going to need all the help I can get, but I think I have a fairly good shot just even being a newcomer to politics and stuff. At least maybe I'm naive to believe that. But
well, stay in touch. If you do decide to run, we'll try to raise some money for you or something. We'll just we'll have you on and get a website and all that and see what we can do, okay?
Hey, I really do appreciate that. I enjoy your show, longtime listener, and continue to be.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
Have a great night.
All right, you too. Take care. Take care. Wichita Falls, Texas. I'm from Texas. Kurt is calling from San Diego, listening on the internet. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Well, I definitely don't need any campaign contributions. After following all this stuff, that's the last thing I want to do is run for office.
Really?
I don't want to be like any of these people, including the Democrats.
Well, do you think running for office makes you that way, or do you think it...
Well, I just think the whole system is jaded, you know. I mean, and I don't know. You kind of touched on it before. You were talking about, I mean, the whole standing ovation, the up and down. I got on the internet and looked, and this is the educational part. The French ovation takes origin from the Latin word ovis, which is sheep. Because Roman generals used to immolate a sheep to gods after a good military action.
Really?
And that's what those people are. And the Democrats were, you know, standing up half as much as, or half, you know, what the Republicans were. I was just watching the rerun here now. When Bush is walking in, Sheila Jackson Lee is like all clapping and patting him on the back and stuff. I'm like, what is up?
Yeah, I saw enough Democrats leaning over like they wanted. You know, Molly, my daughter, is 3 and a half, and she's still at that point where after she goes poo-poo, she says, Mommy or Daddy, come wipe me. And I got the impression from watching some of these Democrats that that's what they're doing. George, Mr. President, come wipe me. It was horrifying.
And if the Republicans can sit over there and hoot and holler like they do and do their thing, why can't a Democrat stand up and boo or something?
I wish they would. They can. They can. They just won't.
Exactly.
Or they ought to holler out stuff like you're a freaking liar, or you know your mama is an illegitimate child of a Aleister Crowley or anything.
I was kind of hoping Cheney would like his pacemaker wouldn't kick in when he was standing up all the time. I'm sure his heart was pumping.
That wasn't really Cheney. That was his double or his triple. All right, well, listen, Kurt,
on a lighter note, I'm one of those homos you were talking about earlier, and all the people that are worried about gay marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm turning 40 next month, and I'm a pretty good-looking guy, pretty fit, and...
You're looking for a date?
Well, kind of, yeah. I'm putting it out there. But what I'm saying is I don't think there's a lot of gays, at least the people I run with and stuff, that are even, like, in line to get married. I don't think it would be a lot of people. But then again, if the Democrats wanted to start with something just a little smaller than gay marriage, they could maybe try for, like, gay immigration equality. Like, next month I'm going to Mexico if I meet, you know, some hottie and I want to bring him back here.
Yeah.
Why not?
How many ways you want me to answer that in the negative? What do you mean, why not? In the first place, oh, never mind. You know what it's like in the United States of America, Kurt, for folks, gay folk especially. But
well, I grew up in Iowa, too, so.
Oh, well.
Oh, one last thing. I had to all this time I was waiting. I want to figure out where the rat bastard started.
Which one?
Yeah, because I love it. I mean, I'm from Iowa, and I said it. We heard it when I was a kid.
I don't know, Kathy. Do you remember where we got rat bastard? I don't. I'm trying to remember. Kurt, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold. You can ask our producer. He might be able to tell you where rat bastard comes from. Where did I get the term rat bastard? Oh, well, it's certainly appropriate. Thanks, Kurt. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Drop of a hat. Jesus, really got playful as a pussycat. Momentarily out of action. Temporarily out of hat.
Thank you.
By making the right choices, we can make the right choice for our future.
Okay. Carol in New York sent me this. It's a website called Left Eye, capital I, Left Eye on the News. I don't have the actual web address, or I'd give it to you. Maybe you can find it. Left Eye on the News, I being the single letter, capital I. It's under the heading, the Chutzpah of the Union. And a couple of quotes here from tonight's State of the Union speech. Bush said, "We have seen wedding guests in blood-soaked finery staggering from a hotel in Jordan." And in fact, in May of 2004, the U.S. bombs a wedding party in Iraq, killing 45 people, including women and children. And last week in Gaza, Israel, most likely using U.S.-supplied planes and bombs, bombed an unused building in a residential neighborhood in Gaza, killing one woman and wounding 46 more at a wedding party next door. Irony abounds. Bush said tonight, "In the long run, men and women who are free to determine their own destinies will reject terror and refuse to live in tyranny. That is why the terrorists are fighting to deny this choice to people in Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Palestinian territories." And when he said that, you know, my head just snapped. But in 2006, the first free elections in a decade were held in the Palestinian territory, elections which were won by Hamas. And since that day, the U.S. and its allies have done everything possible to undermine and reverse that effort of Palestinians who are attempting, in Bush's words, to determine their own destinies. With the cornerstone of that effort, the use of terror against the Palestinians, the attempt to inflict physical, economic, and psychological damage on a civilian population in an attempt to force them to change the political decision they made. And that's, you know, that's the truth. I step outside of your position on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Just step outside of it. And let's quit the goddamn jokes, okay? Lebanon had an election, too, and supporters of Syria wound up in their governing council, and how many of them are dead now? The United States is not interested in supporting democracy. We just aren't. We're interested in supporting the kind of democracy that is really corporatism that we can back. We're not interested in democracy. Look at this filthy pig who just died, Suharto, in Indonesia. How many deaths was he responsible for, thanks to U.S. backing? The East Timorese, just hundreds of thousands of people butchered and slaughtered thanks to Henry Kissinger and George Shultz and the United States government back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. It just never stops, truth seeker. And until you wise up to that fact and realize that the United States is seen as the number one terrorist organization on earth, you're never going to be able to deal with some pretty harsh realities. You really aren't. I'm not scolding. I'm not talking to you. You know what I'm saying. Bush said tonight America is opposing genocide in Sudan. We are. But Suharto, who committed genocide in East Timor and slaughtered a million people in his own country, we honor him. Bush said tonight America is leading the fight against global hunger. You know, that is such a filthy, just so easily to discover lie. We're not fighting global hunger at all. We're contributing to it. That's what NAFTA has done. That's what this craziness about ethanol is doing. That's what genetically modified food is doing. That's what companies like Monsanto or some of these other big agribusinesses who patent certain essential crops and then tell the farmers at the end of every growing season, you have to throw away your seed corn, your seed grain, and buy again from us. We are not fighting global hunger. We are contributing to it. God damn it, can anybody ever tell the truth in this Bush crime family? Excuse my language. The State Department adds about a specific case, U.S. policy toward Haiti is designed to foster and strengthen democracy, help alleviate poverty, illiteracy, and malnutrition. That's Haiti. Nobody talks about Haiti. A bunch of black people that speak French. Who cares about Haiti, right? Ask Americans where Haiti is. Tell, give them a hint. Say, it's on the island of Hispaniola. And watch. Watch what happens. Yeah, watch what happens. Now, let's see, if can you find Haiti? Where's Haiti? It's, here's a clue. It's on the island of Hispaniola. Where's Haiti? Most average illiterate, geographically illiterate Americans will point to some place off the coast of Nova Scotia. You know, you realize that? But how's it working out in Haiti? It was lunchtime in one of Haiti's worst slums, and Charlene Dumas was eating mud. With food prices rising, Haiti's poorest can't afford even a daily plate of rice, and some take desperate measures to fill their bellies. Charlene, who is 16 with a one-month-old son, has come to rely on a traditional Haitian remedy for hunger pangs, cookies made of dried yellow dirt.
Was a giant zeppelin. Its makers made a minor oversight. Before they filled it up with explosive gas, they should fix the nose smoking light. Cause history is made by stupid people. Clever people wouldn't even try. If you want a place in the history books, then do something dumb before you die.
Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. The website, Carol sent to me, the website is lefteye.blogspot.com. Check it out, left eye, just the letter I, lefteye.blogspot.com. I was reading it during the break, skimming through it, because it's a pretty big one. It's been around for a number of years. LeftEyeBlogspot.com. You write out, looks like Lefty, lefti.blogspot.com. Check it out. Good website. Angela writes in, Mike, I remember the, regarding Rat Bastard. Mike, I remember that term from Catch-22. I think it was Josarian who used it. You rotten rat bastard pimp of a snot nose. Though I don't remember who he was referring to. Probably his superior. From Angela. Is that what it is? It's from Catch-22? That could very well be. That was one of my favorite of all time novels. This is from Robert in Chattanooga regarding Edwards. R.W. writes in, Edwards was in Chattanooga today. Mike, I've seen this guy in person. I really think he is the one. We can change the course here in the South during Super Tuesday. Remember, it's not who wins, quote-quote, a state, but how many delegates you take to the convention. And I believe we may have a convention fight this year. I said maybe I should vote my heart, not my head. I'm still leaning towards Edwards, and you know, he's got baggage. Tell me somebody who doesn't. This is from Don in Augusta, who's written several times, written 1,000,000 times. Don's been hanging with us since IE America days. Don writes, Mike, I've just gone back and viewed the video of Obama at the Reno Gazette. The comment about Reagan is bothersome, but the more problematic comments Obama made were rarely discussed. I'd like to know what excesses of the 60s and 70s he's talking about. When Reagan talked about those excesses, he was talking about the freedom movements for civil rights, social justice, economic justice, women's rights, no war, and gay rights. Is this what Obama is talking about? He also said he didn't grow up in that era and that he was not as invested in those fights as people have been around for a while. He said the Republicans were the party of new ideas for the past 10 to 15 years. Not one policy the Republicans have put forth in the last 50 years is new. It all deals with the destruction of civil liberties, destruction of the middle class, limiting individual rights, religious demagoguery, and an all-out attack on anything liberal. Obama's naivety with bipartisanship is amazing. He will find out real quick, excuse me, that these Republican rat bastards would rather die than help him pass any progressive legislation. Unless he does as Clinton, Pelosi, and Reid and cave into their demands, effectively passing bad legislation under the guise of doing something for the people. Donald in Augusta. Yeah, well, And this is from, hey, Paula. Paula's checking in from Bayonne, New Jersey. No, I know people don't talk like that there, but I just saw Gandolfini accept his SAG award. It, you know, it just made me think about that. Anyway, Paul in Bayonne, New Jersey writes, Mike, regarding what Nancy Pelosi was reading, it was bipartisanship for dummies. She writes, I forgot that tonight was the night Raisin Brain would be speechifying and didn't have appropriate libations in stock. Forced to improvise, I invented a new drink. I mixed some, okay, a lot of Grey Goose with a little Gatorade. Oh, God. My concoction didn't taste that good, but it did the trick. I've christened the drink the Desperation Teeny. Here's to Raisin Brain's last State of the Union, Paul and Bayonne. Yes.
No, that's a G-spot.
Excuse me?
Anything, when you mix any kind of grain alcohol like Grey Goose, and it has a G in it, which is convenient, and Gatorade, it's a G-spot.
A G-spot? Is Grey Goose, used to be a bartender, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Is
vodka.
Grey Goose is, what do you mean? It's like grain alcohol?
Well, it's a top shelf vodka.
Oh, see, what do I know? I keep forgetting that in a different lifetime you were a bartender. Oh, excuse me, I'm coughing and snotting into the microphone tonight. I apologize. Wayne is calling from...
Germ also starts with G. Germy.
Wayne is calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
You are.
Listen, what I drew from this speech, whatever you call it, I watched the 20 minutes of it, then I put you on, listen, you make fun of them, but what I saw was just to bankrupt this country, and they're all clapping. This is the plan, it seems to me.
But why? Why do people, why do Americans consciously want to destroy their own home?
I don't think it's the Americans, these politicians.
But they're American. They're Americans. I'm talking nationality now. They're Americans, just like I am, just like you are.
I had the answer, but when you were talking about Haiti, it seems like they have a policy. They want to cut the population down. That's what it seems.
Well, yeah, I'm just tossing out the question more or less rhetorically because, you know, I have the same crazy questions as you do, Wayne. But the thing that always gets me, how can people not just vote for politicians who will then work against the voters' best interests, but how can the politicians who are Americans, do they honestly believe that invading a third world country based on lies is a good thing? Is that what these Republicans believe and some Democrats?
What I'd like to say is like McCain, how is he getting votes? Like he has no Republican support, and he's got all these. They said that he's got independent voters.
Yeah.
Independent voters are probably the smarter of them. They don't want the war.
Well, he's not getting Republican establishment support. He's getting Republican support, the voters, but the base of the Republican Party are religious fanatics. And they don't like McCain because a couple of times McCain has shown a willingness to compromise on some of these issues that the religious fanatic, psycho, mouth-breathing Jesus killers in this country believe in. So the psycho, mouth-breathing Jesus killers in this country, so-called Christians, that make up the base of the Republican Party, they don't like him. He's getting lots of support. From
the electronic voting machines. That's what I think. We got to get rid of them machines, man. People
well, that too.
Speaking up.
That too. You never know what a real vote will be as long as you have those damnable machines. Wayne, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, because McCain has shown a willingness, and I'm not saying anything good about him. I'm just saying he's shown a willingness to at times adopt points of view that almost, not quite, but almost sound progressive on certain social issues. Almost, I said. He's still, Pat Buchanan, was it Buchanan who said today, if McCain gets elected, figure endless war, an invasion of Iran. I'm not suggesting anybody take McCain seriously. He's as much of a psychopath as Bush, worse. Because McCain, you know, McCain has 6 years of torture that he's got to somehow work off. And I think the only way he can do that is to invade a country, some country, any country, and just kill until whites of his eyes turn red. That's in him. I mean, it's there. You can't. You know, what? McCain got PTSD treatment? Bat squeeze. McCain, you talk about a ticking time bomb. How do I know that? Oh, Christ. Because I read tea leaves. That's how I know that. So McCain is a psychopath. He really, really is. But on certain key issues, key to these sick religious nutballs who make up the core of the Republican Party, he has, to use their term, strayed off the reservation. So they want nothing to do with him. Meantime, a lot of Republicans who don't understand, and some Democrats who don't understand what McCain's all about, who really don't understand what his policies would be, are voting for him because he puts out some kind of an aura to these people that or a vibe that he may be crazy, but not really all that crazy. He's kind of crazy like the people who vote for him are crazy. Huh? You think? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Who's up next? Crandall. Crandall is calling from Madison, listening on the mic. Hey, Crandall.
Hey, is this Mike?
It is indeed.
I'm a first-time caller.
Yeah? Well, glad you called in.
Yeah, I've been listening for a few months, but tonight seemed to be the appropriate night to call in.
Okay.
But I wanted to comment about what you said about the Kennedys.
Yeah.
They're the aristocracy, and they're Shakespearean and iconic. But when I'm one of the 47 million that does not have a doctor to help me.
Uh-huh.
If I get sick, it's tough luck for me.
Right.
They can talk about medical care all they want, but when they get sick, they climb into a limousine and they go to the doctor, and I don't think they ever see a bill, and they'll definitely never go to bankruptcy court. If you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. The Kennedys are wealthy.
You're sending out a mixed message to me. Sometimes you seem to believe in the American political system, but most of the time you don't. But sometimes you seem as though you believe a little bit in it. And I've lost total faith.
Well, I want to believe in it. I really do. I think the possibilities are endless if we start with the U.S. Constitution. Start there. That's not an ending point to me. It never has been. It's like a starting point. As far as the mixed message, yeah, if you listen to this program long enough, I'm sure there will be times when you will hear what sounds to be like a mixed message. You know why? Because I'm just as confused as you are. I'm just as confused as you are, Crandall. I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in.
I hate Republicans. I hate Republicans. Baby, I can't stand the Republicans.
Ten before the hour. And did this nightmarish freak tonight in his State of the Union address, when he was talking about financial responsibility, did he mention the fact that he has put this country trillions of dollars in debt, the money used to fight his wars is all coming from investors, from people around the planet who are still stupid enough to buy the paper out of this filthy regime, and yet he has the audacity to stand there and talk about financial responsibility. What's he talking about? Somebody that has a credit card? It's just, I don't know. It's almost beyond my ability to handle. Really, I'll watch a rebroadcast of that speech tonight, and I will scream at the television screen. Couldn't do it on the air. And I'll say all kinds of bad words that you can't say on Nova M Radio Network. Thanks to the crew tonight, Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls in Phoenix at our flagship station, KPHX. Also in Phoenix, our technical director, Billy Foster. Ben Birch, somewhere in Illinois, our podcast manager. I don't know where Ben is now. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, right here in Atlanta, is our executive producer. And again, welcome to Truth Seekers in Dallas, Texas, who are listening to us tonight on 1360 AM KMDY. We'll be there every night for you, Monday through Friday, from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. Central Time. Y'all. Tim is calling from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And I just want to say thank you for being the voice of reason, the voice of sanity, and the voice of truth, because I made a big mistake by watching the State of the Union address by myself and not with
you.
Oh,
no.
I'm serious. I went nuts. I went crazy. I went wild. I mean, the lies, the BS, the
yeah,
evil that this man spew is maddening.
Oh, I know, and you shouldn't listen to Bush, especially in a State of the Union address by yourself, Tim. I mean,
no,
come on. There's this 12-step program that prevents people from doing that, you know.
Because I was talking to a bunch of proggers in some chat rooms, in the Tom Hartman's chat room, and
yeah.
They're saying, "Hey, this is the last State of the Union address. This is like start the State of the Union address." And then I said, "Well, what about continuity of government?" And everybody went boom. Eventually, creates a martial law.
Oh. Well, do you think that's going to happen? Do you think Bush is going to leave, or do you think Bush is going to refuse to leave?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know. And listening to this, you know, the address, just swearing like you said you're going to be doing tonight, just listening to it, it's like he does not want to end the war. He does not want to leave.
On the other hand, though, Tim, this so-called State of the Union address tonight was just a cut-and-paste job. There was nothing in there that he hasn't said. During other speeches, some of them State of the Union, some his little half-assed speeches that he used to give before a press briefing. So there's nothing new in there. Bush knows that history is going to treat him exactly the way he should be treated, as an absolute total failure, a flop, a miserable, miserable little man who took a country that was in arguably fairly good shape, at least financially, arguably, mm-hmm. and crashed it up against a brick wall. And he knows that he's a twit. So what I heard tonight was a cut and paste job of God knows how many of his toy speeches over the past 7 years.
Exactly. And you know what else? Oh, you know, I'm speaking of Tom Hartman again. What happened was I heard this morning that he had a soundbite, and I'm not sure if it was a reporter or a person, you know, asking Bush a question, but they said that. Did Saddam Hussein have anything to do with 9/11? And Bush said no, and I just flipped.
No, say that again.
Bush, I think it was either a reporter.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've played that many times where Saddam says regarding Saddam, no, he had nothing to do with 9/11.
But why are we in Iraq?
Because they caused 9/11.
But he's not responsible for it.
Well,
and also, like, if Afghanistan, too, they said that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11, but if you go to FBI.gov, look on his wanted poster, there's nothing in reference to 9/11. And an FBI spokesperson also said that there's no evidence pointing Osama bin Laden to 9/11. So why are we in Afghanistan?
Because otherwise we would have to bomb and kill parts of the Republican Party leadership and the the Project for New American Century leadership and some Saudis and you know, people in the U.S. government who absolutely knew and or conspired to not know and did what they could to allow that attack to occur. This is what they've been after for a long time, and they got what they wanted. And a lot of people believe, and I'm not sure what I believe at this point, a lot of people believe that they assisted, they being the Bush crime family, in engineering the attacks. You can take that for whatever it's worth.
I believe it, unfortunately.
But of the 19 people that came to this country, if you believe the official story, to commit mass murder, 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Not from Afghanistan, not from Iraq, not from Iran, not from the Chicago suburbs, and certainly not from Paramus, New Jersey. They were from Saudi, by God, Arabia. But you see, we don't bomb Saudi Arabia because those are Bush business partners, and we need their oil.
So, and six to eight of them are alive today.
Well, probably all of them. Tim, I have to leave it there. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate you checking in. That's it for tonight. Thanks for hanging out. Weird night, huh? Oy. Oh, well, there's always tomorrow night when I'm sure it will be weirder. I'll see you then tomorrow night. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.